Are you ready to create a life of balance, abundance, and joy? To live from a place of right intention and right alignment in all that you do? Then tune in right now to Living on Purpose with your host, Carolyn Romano. Living on Purpose is about standing in the center of your life so that no matter what's happening around you, you can respond from a place of peace and strength. Living on Purpose is about being deliberately aligned with the ways you're meant to serve and grow while staying open to experiencing life fully. Living on Purpose is a time for us to come together to remember our divine selves while we learn and wonder about, weigh and consider, and unpack and repack the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life.
Welcome to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano. I'm Carolyn Romano, your host, and I am delighted to be here with you tonight. You are listening to a Dream Vision 7 Radio Network live broadcast at AM 1510 WMEX. To learn more and for a full station schedule that includes our affiliate showtimes, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Listeners, our topic tonight is arrow medicine, walking your truth. But before we dive in, I have a few housekeeping details I'd like to cover. This show is also aired on dreamvision7radio.com at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Mondays and Tuesdays, as well as on other affiliates. Past shows are downloadable at the Dream Vision 7 archive and on iTunes. I invite you to please like my Facebook page, Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, and you can contact me, I will always love hearing from you, by email at carolyn@blisshealingarts.com or via my website, blisshealingarts.com. The Dream Vision 7 network has over 1.2 million listeners in more than 125 countries. We've got lots of great shows with new hosts joining all the time, and I invite you to have a listen. Our last show was called Counting Coup, Fearing Success, or Recognition. It's kind of interesting how that show unfolded. We talked a bit about what the act of counting coup signified. It was a victory over an enemy or accepted challenge, a way to sort of add a feather to your war bonnet. But a coup feather was never awarded to someone who intended to do something but didn't follow through. And what Jamie Sams teaches, she is the author of the Native American Sacred Path Cards that I use in virtually every aspect of my practice, she talks about walking one's talk as the essence of true victory. And I like that idea of walking one's talk and how it relates to walking your truth, right? Very similar concept. And so we're going to unpack that a little bit further in tonight's show about arrow medicine. Whenever I explain the arrow card to people, I talk first about the keynote for it, which is truth as protection. And I explain that when you can be in a space where you are fully aware of what your truth is and can honor that truth, you will be protected. And what I generally advise people to do in any given moment when maybe they're feeling unsure about something, I encourage them to stop and to ask themselves, what is true for me in this very moment? What is true for me in this very moment? And then I say, wait and listen and see what emerges for you. See what that truth is. And once that emerges, act from that truth. And I think that's really what walking your truth is all about, right? Jamie Sams calls it staying on the sacred path. It's this reminder, the arrow card is a reminder to aim higher. Quote, to seek and find the hidden side of your warrior nature, Jamie Sams writes, and then use it to honor the truth inside your heart. The truth inside your heart. It seems to me that that's really where it's at. You know, when we're asked to point at ourselves, what do we generally do? We point at our hearts, right? Thinking of that as the seat of who we are, right? Our hearts actually start beating, right, before the brain is developed. But sometimes we falsely think that the brain is something that's most in control. But actually there is a brain, quote-unquote, in the heart that has a mind of its own. Science has proven this. And it can actually refuse to listen to directions given to it by the brain, which is in and of itself pretty amazing. The heart can also send messages to the brain that the brain actually follows. The emotional center of your brain develops prior to sort of the thinking part of your brain, and thoughts get sort of processed through that emotional center, which really speaks to how things really, you know, how thinking really happens and what sort of contributes to the decisions that we make. You know, when we say separate our hearts from our heads, I think in some ways an argument could be made that that's actually impossible to do. So, you know, that's sort of a physical thing, but thinking about the heart sort of as that center of the self and stripping away the layers, tuning into our own hearts, is how we can get to that truth, right? The heart of the matter. And then from that awareness, we walk. When I was preparing for the show, one of the books that came up for consideration tonight was written by Dan Millman. He's the spiritual warrior guy, and he wrote a book called Everyday Enlightenment, The 12 Gateways to Personal Growth. He talks about awakening your heart as the 11th gateway. And so he sort of moves the reader through this explanation of how to really become aware of your heart, you know, that space in you, right, deep inside, and how from that space we visualize. How do we see from the heart? How do we touch, like actually touch someone from your heart? How do you listen from your heart? And what he advises that we all do, which I think is worth our consideration and sort of experimenting with, is that in all of our interactions or all the decisions we need to make or just how we kind of interact with the world, we stay very aware of our heart. We really make it our intention or a deliberate act that, you know, before we look at something or someone, before we touch someone, you know, when we're about to have a conversation with someone, that we tune into our heart center and that we operate from that, right? And we observe how things shift just by virtue of doing that. You know, he calls listening from your heart as heartful attention. You know, we always know when people are not listening to us, right? You know, they may start off listening when we're telling a story or sharing something, and then all of a sudden, we know when that attention has shifted in some way. But what greater gift is there than to give someone heartful attention? You know, really being in that space of complete presence for someone. It's an incredible gift. There's a lot of work being done by the Institute of Heart Math. I've talked about them on prior shows, where you can get yourself into what they call coherence, this, you know, rhythm that our energy field can fall into when we focus on appreciation and love. And so what they talk about is like breathing from our heart centers and what that can do to transform us, you know, individually, but also transform the energy around us, the people around us, and how we can kind of get into entrainment with other people around us as well. And they've actually done experiments where they hook people up to electrodes and measure the coherence. It's a nice, beautiful sine wave that shows up on the monitor when people are in that heart coherence. And, you know, we may not have little electrodes to test it on ourselves, but we can certainly feel the impact when we do that ourselves, when we try to breathe from that heart center. Often with my clients, I'll say, you know, I want you to just picture that you've got a little nose on your heart. And, you know, just put that little nose on your heart and then imagine that little nose breathing in and out from that place. Focusing on appreciation and love. And if you're able to do that now as you're listening, just to kind of experiment with that intention of having a little nose on your heart and seeing the shifts that might take place within you. And then when we get in that space, when we, you know, stay in that heart awareness, when we have our heart awakened and we operate from that, I think we're capable of some pretty powerful things. And we can also then stay very connected to what our truth is. Because I do really believe and feel and have experienced that our truth, our purpose, that spark resides sort of in our heart centers. Lissa Rankin, who I've talked about on prior shows, written a book called Mind Over Medicine, is very involved in our looking at ourselves holistically and tending to all the different parts of ourselves in order to be healthy and connected with our divine purpose. And she talks about each of us having this inner pilot light, that spark within us. And I sometimes picture that when I hear her talking about it as this little flame that exists inside my heart. This week I had the opportunity to do a number of self-care workshops for an organization in Boston that works with women who are trying to change their lives in various capacities. And so much of the workshop was just about really helping people to enter a space of self-awareness so that they could begin to identify what is true for them. They could begin to see sort of the stories they were telling about their lives and stories that really might not be serving them anymore, especially as they're trying to reach for more. And, you know, a lot of times we know it. We know what's true for us. We know we're not happy with the life we're living, and yet we don't know how to make the change. We remain stuck. And what are all the reasons for that? We talked a lot at the workshop about this idea of being comfortably unhappy. Comfortably unhappy. And when I said that at the workshop, boy, there was more than one person that perked up and seemed to really connect in with that idea. You know, we get in this space of inertia or fear or just caught in the low vibrations around us and are so bogged down in doing all this stuff that we think we need to be doing or that we just habitually do that really isn't a reflection of our truth. I've been finding that this is really true for myself. I've been kind of stumbling around the last couple weeks feeling like I don't know exactly how to put it, but just this vague sense of upsetness or displeasure or something, just where I don't feel fully aligned. And so I've been doing this inventory of how I'm spending my time and kind of an audit. Say, okay, you know, what's going on for me? What am I doing with my time? Is it lined up with, you know, my inner pilot light and what I want to be expressing out in the world and the ways that I'm getting bogged down? And boy, wouldn't you know it, this always happens for me, and I'm grateful. I got all these little reminders and messages when I least expected it. I was leaving on Friday a vision therapy appointment. I've been going weekly to try to resolve some issues I'm having with my vision. The irony there does not escape me, let's put it that way. And so I'm driving home from the appointment, and I happen to turn on Cheryl Richardson's radio broadcast. She's a very successful life coach and just has amazing teachings for all of us. And so I turn it on, and the sentence that comes out of her mouth is something to the effect of, you know, the best thing you can do to have the life that you want is to let go of all the things that no longer serve you. I said, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I've been struggling with right now. You know, a lot of times we think, oh, no, I have to just keep focusing on what I want. And there is an extent to which that is true, but we also have to be willing to drop all the things that we don't want. And that sorting out process is so connected in with our truth. I mean, things may have been true for us at a certain time, but, you know, maybe they're no longer true for us, and we just haven't been paying attention to the fact that while they served us at one point, they're not serving us now. And so I was like, you know, ding, ding, ding. I've got a list a mile long of things that I continue to do that don't really serve me. You know, things that I'm involved in, volunteer activities, just habits in general, even stuff that I'm hanging on to that doesn't serve me and really interferes, actually. It's gone beyond, you know, just not serving me. It actually is hindering me from moving ahead in the way that I want to move ahead. And I got a similar message last night. I've been going back over past radio shows, which I actually never do, but I'm trying to sort of pull some writings together, and I thought, let me go back and listen to the show I did in September. And I got that same message. It was a lesson that I learned when I was in South Dakota at the convening of the International Council of 13 Indigenous Grandmothers. And I remember sitting in, you know, the large room with them, and I don't know who was talking or if we were just meditating, but I got this very clear message that was, you know, we really should never do anything that we don't absolutely want to do. And, you know, I know people will say, well, sure, Carolyn, and I think I talked about this on that September show, you know, well, I've got to work, I've got to pay my bills, I've got to this, I've got to that. And, you know, we can say, okay, there's a certain truth to that. But then also I think we do spend a lot of our time doing stuff that we don't want to do, you know, out of habit or obligation or guilt or I don't know what. And I think it's really time that we bring some attention and intention to that and say, okay, you know, do I really want to do this? It's not unlike what Araya Mountain Dreamer talks about in her poem, The Invitation. She has a line in that that says something like, can you be faithless, you know, without faith? Can you be faithless and therefore trustworthy? And that was, you know, a line that got, you know, misinterpreted all over the world when the poem went viral and people were putting in the word faithful instead of faithless. And she said, no, no, no. You're trustworthy if you can be faithless, because if you are always doing exactly what you want to be doing, then people can trust that you're always going to be doing exactly what you want to be doing. And that's a paradigm shift from how we typically think. You know, okay, I can trust you because I believe that you're faithful is very different than saying I can trust you because I know that you will, you know, be faithless, even if it means that you're, you know, betraying me. I can still trust you. So, you know, then from there comes that task of letting go. We identify what's true for us. We say, yes, I can be faithless and therefore trustworthy. But how do we do that? You know, how do we let go of things so we can create something? And in tonight's show, I don't have a whole, you know, list of tips for how we do this. I just really wanted to put this all forward for our consideration. I mean, I don't think we can just, you know, solve it by, you know, just follow these three steps that I found here in this book and you're going to be okay. I think it really is quite a perplexing issue for so many of us. I mean, I was sitting with women in circle this week in those self-care workshops, and I thought, gosh, each of us in here is struggling in some way. You know, we know our truth, and yet we can't seem to take a hold of it with both hands. And I think there was this part of me that felt a lot of sadness for that. You know, part of me said, well, you know, that's the human condition. And a part of me said, well, it shouldn't be like this. We should really be able to give ourselves more permission. And our society should be set up more so that we can get there faster. You know, we're not in sort of the last part of our lives finally figuring it out. You know, why can't we do this a little bit sooner in our history? So I don't want to sound like a downer tonight or whenever you're listening to this, but I just really feel like it's something that we need to look at, take some time and unpack and say, you know what? What is my truth? And if I know what my truth is, am I actually walking it? Araya Mountain Dreamer has another book that I love that's called What We Ache For. And the subtitle is Creativity and the Unfolding of Your Soul. And in that book, she talks about creativity and how closely intertwined it is with both risk and sacrifice. And I thought, okay, this is going to be interesting. And I feel like, you know, in some ways it was, you know, messages for me about the, you know, creative projects I have going on. But I also thought, you know, this is very much related to, you know, life and how we sort of create our lives and, you know, how we walk our truth. So I kind of want to get that set up for us to, you know, dive into when we come back from break and really thinking about, you know, the truth that is ours alone, and then how do we go about creating a life that allows us to be the full expressions of that truth. So I offer that for your consideration. I ask you to contemplate that during the break. And when we come back, we will look at how risk and sacrifice are very much intertwined with creativity and the lives we are trying to create. I will talk to you in a few. Sean, take us to break.
Since 2004, Old Dog Haven in Washington State has been providing loving, safe homes for senior dogs ages 8 and up who've been abandoned or are homeless at this time in their lives. Wonderful foster families take these old dogs into their homes, making their golden years happy years. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit olddoghaven.org. Old Dog Haven, providing hope, love, and comfort for senior dogs.
Since 2009, the Frank J. Romano Foundation has been working to honor the public service legacy of its namesake. The Foundation's goals include promoting health and wellness, encouraging education and lifelong learning, and promoting volunteerism and social responsibility. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit fjrfoundation.org. The Frank J. Romano Foundation. Be well, do good, love life.
J.T. Lewis is the big brother of Jesse Lewis, who died in Sandy Hook Elementary on December 14, 2012, while saving the lives of nine of his classmates. J.T. found comfort after Rwandan orphan genocide survivors reached out to him from their country to express their condolences and share their personal stories of tragedy and healing. Inspired by the love that was shown to him, J.T. started Newtown Helps Africa, a nonprofit organization that helps young people in Africa and beyond who've suffered personal tragedy and have shown resilience. He successfully sent one young Rwandan woman to college for 4 years and plans to do much more, all the while inspiring many young people around the world to turn hardship into an opportunity to make the world a better place. Link on to NewtownHelpsRwanda.org.
Donna Schatz is a licensed acupuncturist located in the Porter Square, Cambridge area of Somerville. With over 25 years of experience, Donna combines massage, acupuncture, and Reiki in her work while focusing on each client's individual needs. Contact Donna at 617-776-3065 or visit www.donnaschatz.com. That's 617-776-3065 or donnaschatz.com.
Living your values? Looking for companions on the path? With wisdom, humor, and compassion, artist Sarah Jepson-Zitter answers many of the questions we have about living a spiritually grounded life. Check out her stunning graphic novels and designs on cards, mugs, and other cool gifts at gnomestedding.com. That's G-N-O-M-E-Stedding.com. Or call Sarah at 978-897-6239 for more information.
Thank you. The goal of the Jesse Lewis Choose Love Foundation is to cultivate a more peaceful world by creating awareness that we can choose love. By providing tools for our children and communities, we can enable them to develop a healthy level of optimism that leads to resilience. Our mission is to give people the understanding that they can choose love by living a life with gratitude, having the ability to forgive, and to be compassionate. This is a proactive effort towards mental health that'll provide children and adults with the perspective and wisdom they need to be able to navigate through life in a happy, fulfilled, and meaningful way. Our website is jessielewischooselove.org.
Involved in a divorce or custody dispute? Time to finally get your will and health care proxy in place. Need help getting special education services for your child with a disability? For these and other legal issues, the attorneys at Levine Pirro Law can help. We provide all our Massachusetts clients with compassionate, affordable, quality legal representation. Contact us for a free consultation at 978-637-2048. That's 978-637-2048. Or visit Levine Pirro Law.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast at AM 1510 WMEX. If you're just joining us, our topic tonight is arrow medicine, walking your truth. Before the break, I was talking about a great book by Oriya Mountain Dreamer called What We Ache For, Creativity and the Unfolding of Your Soul. This is just another great work by Oriya, and in it she talks about how closely intertwined creativity is with both risk and sacrifice. And I suspect that it's showing up in tonight's show because in many ways, that idea of sort of walking your truth is very much related to being able to create a life that's based on that truth, right? You know, it's knowing your truth and then walking your truth is kind of being on your life's journey. And so I want to share some of what she talks about in terms of the creative process as a way for you to think about, well, how does that relate to, you know, creating the life that, you know, we each want to live. So when she talks about creativity and risk, she says, quote, "It's closely intertwined, risk is, because over and over again, we have to let go of what we thought we would see or hear or feel to find the truth that is speaking to us, the story or image or movement or song that wants to be revealed by our creative work." She goes on, and then there is also sacrifice, because any creative work involves choices, what to include or what to leave out, how to say or depict something, which automatically means other ways of saying or depicting it are ruled out. And when you think about that and how it relates to creating a life and that idea of risk, I mean, it just makes so much sense to me, and I'll try to articulate what, you know, why that is powerful to me. You know, when you're trying to create the life you want to be living, you have to be continually willing to let go of your expectations, you know, what you thought or what you think something should look like, right? So that what it should be can actually manifest. Reminds me of what I said in the first segment about, you know, having the life you want really involves so much of letting go of the things that don't serve you anymore, right? Creating that space, being willing over and over again to let go of what we thought we wanted. So that's about risk, and then about sacrifice, you know, and any creative work involving choices. I think that is part of this idea of why so many people get stuck. I mean, there are so many of us that are interested in so many things, for instance, or we get paralyzed in the decision-making process because if we choose one thing, it means we're not choosing something else. And what if we choose the wrong thing? And how do we know what's the right thing? And so, you know, we get into this you know, analysis paralysis, I heard it called. And then we don't do anything because we spend so much time going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I know when I moved my office space about a year and a half ago, I was very anxious about it. You know, I had to move, but where I moved was, you know, open to, you know, was open. And I ended up taking a space that, you know, over time would gradually require more and more output and basically rent money for me. And I thought, geez, how am I going to do this? And so I finally came to the conclusion and was willing to kind of risk or and sacrifice. But the conclusion I came to was that even if this ends up being a mistake or being a, well, I shouldn't say a mistake, even if I end up failing at the endeavor, it was still the right thing to do. And I think that can be really hard for some of us to kind of embrace where, you know, we think that failures and mistakes are the same thing, and I don't think that's necessarily true. Okay. Moving on a little bit. She also talks about this idea of structure emerging for creative work in places that we least expect it. And I like that idea as something that we can apply to our lives kind of showing up and unfolding. She talked about it in terms of, you know, identifying how to put together a creative work. In fact, the book she wrote after she wrote the poem, The Invitation, kind of just magically appeared by some synchronicity, the fan talking to her, something to that effect. And that happens to us more often than we think. And I think being open to that, you know, being willing to have, you know, messages come in or really allowing sort of associations and visions of things to inform us can allow these structures to emerge. For me, you know, figuring out a format for some writing I'm doing is coming from largely from the structure that I use for my radio show. So she talks about them. I feel like I'm a little bit all over the place, but bear with me. She talks about this idea that we are all put on earth to say one word that means everything to us, right? And when that word finds you, she says, we need to give our whole life to it. And I feel like that connects in so well with that idea of your truth. I mean, I think your truth can be that one word. And if we can be in the space of willingness to, you know, allow that word to find us and trust that that word will find us, then we can kind of move in the direction of the life we're meant to live, right? We can take those risks. We can sacrifice the way that we need to sacrifice. So I offer that for your consideration. During the break, I was talking with Sean a little bit about, you know, well, why is it that it's so hard for so many of us to move in the direction we want to move in? We're in a job we can't stand, or we're in a relationship we can't stand, or, you know, our kids are struggling and we just don't know how to support them. You know, we live in a home that we don't want to live in. We have health issues that we don't want to have. And so much of it comes down to fear. You know, we get used to being a certain way, and the thought of shifting it creates so much fear and anxiety that a lot of times we can't move on it. So we defer decisions until a later point. You know, we say, okay, next week or in the new year or whatever, tomorrow. Then all of a sudden we find that, you know, a big portion of our lives has gone by and, you know, we feel regret. And so, you know, when I'm working with clients, we often look at ways that, you know, we can support changes energetically. And how can we look at sort of what's happening in a person's energy field, in, you know, each of their chakra centers, those sort of wheels of energy that really can give us a lot of information based on, you know, how they're moving, whether they're blocked or not, how much they're moving, that sort of thing. And, you know, coupling that with looking at the way that some of our meridians are functioning and just that whole idea of applying some energy medicine practices to support our achieving our goals. You know, thinking about, for example, you know, what's happening with our root chakra, right? That's your first chakra, that's sort of, you know, where your legs meet your body. And that chakra is very much associated with our sense of security in the world, like physical security. And if that chakra is not working properly or, you know, optimally, it can often say a lot about sort of, you know, our living situation and are we feeling okay about that, you know, moving into our second chakra. And that's, you know, our creative center, right? Not just, you know, creating children, but also, you know, what we're creating out in the world. And if that's not moving the way it needs to be moving, we can really get stuck in figuring out how to kind of live the life we want to be living and create the things that we're meant to create. And so by kind of helping to move the energy for people, even helping them move it themselves, you've got that energetic support behind you. Oh my gosh, already we're up against another break. So we'll perhaps quickly go through the remaining chakras in our final segment. We'll just see sort of what unfolds from there. But allowing sort of our energy system to really support the lives that we're meant to be living is a key way for us to kind of move ahead. I will let Sean take us to break, and I will talk to y'all in a few.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
If you're feeling the effects of chronic stress, chronic fatigue, or chronic illness in your life, it may be time to learn more about the key role that mind-body medicine can play in restoring and maintaining your health. Through individual or group sessions with Carolyn Romano of Bliss Healing Arts in Massachusetts, you can experience energy medicine, mind-body skill building, and self-care planning designed to enhance health and wellness. Mind-body medicine includes techniques such as Reiki, meditation, breathing practices, guided imagery, and mindfulness, which research increasingly shows support the body's natural ability to heal itself and restore balance. To get started, call Carolyn at 508-481-BLIS. That's 508-481-2547. Or visit blisshealingarts.com and get your bliss on.
Harvard holistic psychiatrist and psychoanalyst Dr. Judy Tsafrir offers empowering astrology and tarot readings that provide insight and guidance regarding love, work, and higher purpose. For more information, call 617-965-3020 or visit bostonastrologer.com or bostontarot.com. Readings are available via phone, Skype, and in person in Newton Center, Massachusetts.
Maybe you have clear goals for your life but wish you were making more progress. Or perhaps you have no idea where you're headed, yet you still feel a sense of urgency to get there. Wherever you find yourself at this moment, consider how you will benefit from shamanic coaching with Carolyn Romano of Bliss Healing Arts in Massachusetts. This face-to-face approach works on achieving alignment on all four levels of your existence: mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical. Shamanic coaching combines traditional coaching methods with energy medicine, mind-body skill building, and shamanic techniques. The goal: to help people create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. Call Carolyn at 508-481-BLIS. That's 508-481-2547. Or visit blisshealingarts.com and get your bliss on.
Since 2004, Old Dog Haven in Washington State has been providing loving, safe homes for senior dogs ages 8 and up who've been abandoned or are homeless at this time in their lives. Wonderful foster families take these old dogs into their homes, making their golden years happy years. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit olddoghaven.org. Old Dog Haven, providing hope, love, and comfort for senior dogs.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Since 2009, the Frank J. Romano Foundation has been working to honor the public service legacy of its namesake. The Foundation's goals include promoting health and wellness, encouraging education and lifelong learning, and promoting volunteerism and social responsibility. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit fjrfoundation.org. The Frank J. Romano Foundation. Be well, do good, love life.
You are listening to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at AM 1510 WMEX. If you're just joining us, we are in the final segment of Arrow Medicine, Walking Your Truth. And in our remaining time together, it always seems to go so quickly, I wanted to talk a little bit about how to identify your truth and how to do your best with kind of walking your truth. And so, you know, I've talked about this on numerous shows, and it just keeps coming up as sort of the way to get to so many places, metaphysically speaking. And that really is by going within and listening. And I started out the show by saying, you know, this arrow medicine card is so much about truth as protection at any given moment, being able to ask yourself, what is true for me right now in this moment? And then pausing, going within, listening for an answer to that question. And once you have that answer, operating from that truth, acting out of that truth, and knowing that if you do that, it will protect you. And that, you know, we need to do our best with that. And that idea of always do your best is one of the four agreements that Don Miguel Ruiz talks about in his book by the same name. It's the fourth agreement, always do your best. And I love that when he's talking about that, he says that your best changes. And this reminds me so much of when I was a little kid, or a teen, and I'd bring my report card home. My dad would take a look at it. You know, I was a good student. I worked pretty hard. And, you know, I got mostly A's, you know, mostly good grades. And, you know, if I ever came home with a B-plus or something under an A-minus, he'd look at the card and he'd review everything. And he would say, you know, okay, great job. And then he'd, like, zero in on the B-plus. And he would say, he'd look at me and say, you know, what's this? And I say, oh, yeah, you know, that's a B-plus in algebra. Uh-huh. And he'd look at me again and he'd say, did you do your best? Well, and then he'd interrupt me. Well, if you can tell me that you did your best and that, you know, you did everything you could possibly do, you stayed after school, you talked to the teacher, you did extra work, you know, if you can tell me you did your best, then the B-plus is okay. But if you didn't do your best, then, you know, we need to work harder. And I would just kind of groan inside, because how can you say, oh, I did my best every moment of that, you know, marking period? And so I love the fact that Don Miguel Ruiz says our best changes, right? You know, we always do our best, but we do our best in the moment we're in. And I really, really like that. You know, sometimes there are people who, you know, are better at their best when it's the morning, and sometimes they're better at their best in the evening. I happen to be a bit of a night owl, so I really can churn work out and do some of my best thinking when it's nighttime. You know, when we're healthy, we can do better at our best than when we're sick, right? So that idea of really trying to show up and bring the best you can to the moment that you're in with, you know, presence, I think is a great way to frame that idea of always doing your best. And so, you know, if my father were to ask me that now, you know, did you do your best? If I were to think about, you know, this fourth agreement, I think I would probably have been able to say to him, yeah, you know, Dad, I did do my best that home marking period. Each day I did the best I could that day. So I didn't even know I was going to tell that story, but there it is. In the Four Agreements, there's a little teaching that Don Miguel goes into about a man who went to a Buddhist temple to seek out a master who might help him. And he asked the master, you know, Master, if I meditate for 4 hours a day, how long will it take me to gain enlightenment? And the master replied, well, if you meditate for 4 hours a day, then perhaps you will gain enlightenment in 10 years. And so the man thought for a moment and he said, well, Master, what if I meditate for 8 hours a day? And the master replied, well, if you meditate for 8 hours a day, then it might take you 20 years to achieve enlightenment. And so the man was like, well, why? That doesn't make any sense. Why? And the master replied, you are not here to sacrifice your joy or your life. You are here to live, to be happy, and to love. This is from Don Miguel Ruiz's The Four Agreements. It goes on, if you can do your best in 2 hours of meditation, but you spend 8 hours instead, you will only grow tired, miss the point, and you won't enjoy your life. End quote. And I thought this was also very intriguing, because sometimes, especially in this workaholic society that we're in, we think we just have to keep doing more and more and more, and that equates with the best, right? But there is also that idea of, you know, diminishing returns, that, you know, we can't always maintain the same level of productivity, and actually we get worse, you know, the more time we spend on something. And this is a really important lesson for me, because I occasionally, or more than occasionally, in some of my writing assignments or consulting assignments, I end up spending, you know, way too much time, and I can't, like, put it to bed. You know, one more hour, one more read-through, one more this, one more that. And at a certain point, you know, what is suffering? The work itself could be suffering, but then there are other parts of your life that are also suffering. And I had an important lesson about this just yesterday, in fact. My birthday was on the 3rd, and I had friends taking me out to birthday lunch, and it was my partner and I eating at this wonderful Chinese restaurant, and we were just talking, and my friend Laura happened to ask me about one of the dogs. And I, you know, told my side of the story about Roxy, and my partner told his side of the story, and, you know, we were bantering a little bit, and he said to me, without any judgment or criticism at all, well, you know, you're never home to see this. And, oh my God, it was like a knife to my heart. And I thought, you know, he's absolutely right. I spend a good chunk of time nearly every day away from my home. And that really, when I get, you know, deep down to it and I get honest, that is not how I want to be spending my time. So I am not sort of walking my truth. You know, I want to be home. I want to be, you know, with my family. I want to be in my apartment. I don't want to meditate 8 hours a day when I could meditate for 2 hours and get better results. So, you know, that's sort of how it unfolded for me in the last week, but I just offer that for your consideration, to think about the ways that you're spending your time and how much time you're spending, and what does that say about you and about the amount of joy that's in your life. And no judgment here. I'm struggling with these things myself. But really getting honest about your truth, about what's true for you. Letting the answers emerge. And I really went into this space last night of, you know, how do I want my life to be? And how, and, you know, and to the extent that I know, what is actually, what am I actually manifesting? And, you know, there's a lot of places where I'm missing the mark. I mean, there are places where, you know, I'm on target, but speaking of arrow medicine, using archery metaphors, but, you know, it needs some work. I need to really get quiet with some of this stuff and then get willing, and then I've got to, you know, push through the barriers and the pain points that are keeping me from joy and from walking my truth and being of service in the way that I want to be of service. And so, you know, what does that look like for you in your life? Is there a new story that you can be telling about what is so and what's possible? I think sometimes we get so stuck where we are, so sort of our lives become so habitual that we stop believing that something else is possible, or we feel like the intervention needs to come from outside of ourselves rather than letting it be an inside job, you know, a shift in perception, a shift in the way we approach our life, and that sort of thing. I don't know if there's anything more I want to say about that. It feels a little bit complete to me. So let's contemplate these words as we close tonight's program. I'll talk a little bit in the remaining couple of minutes that I have about some upcoming opportunities to help you. I run a shamanic journeying circle actually twice a month now. Starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. I do it on the second Monday, so February 9th. That's actually tomorrow night, although if you live in Massachusetts, you know that we're having a crazy snowstorm tomorrow, so it might actually be the 16th. If you're planning on joining us, please check in with me first before showing up. I also do the journeying on the fourth Thursday of the month, and so that is February 26th. Again, it's at 7 p.m. I've also been running a drum circle, usually the first Friday of the month, so we're looking at March. I do sacred path card readings using Jamie Sam's sacred path card deck. I do that in person or over the phone. I also do energy work and chakra balancing. We talked a little bit about chakras in the second segment. I didn't get through all 7 of them or 12 of them or 20 of them, depending on who you study, but I am available for those kinds of consultations and adjustments. Every month at New Moon, I do a sacred pipe ceremony in the Lakota tradition. I am a pipe carrier, so I also take prayer requests, so you can send them in to me. If there's something you would like me to pray for on your behalf, I'm happy to do so. I thank you for listening. If you have any questions or comments, email me at carolyn@blisshealingarts.com. Our next show is on March 8th when our topic is Power Place, feeling connected to the Earth Mother. Remember, tonight's show will air Monday and Tuesday at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. at dreamvision7radio.com. Until next time, I wish you moments of grace descending. Take good care.
Thank you for tuning into Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Please join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. when we unpack and examine the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Living on Purpose is about being deliberately aligned with the ways we're meant to serve and grow while staying open to experiencing life fully. It's about recognizing and becoming the fullest expressions of who we are. It's about envisioning the lives we're meant to be living and then joyfully living from that end. Yes, Boston and beyond. Until next time, get your bliss on. For more info, visit blisshealingarts.com.